Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to speak here today on behalf of my community. As we know, the Lincoln Yards development expects to receive almost $1 billion in public money for infrastructure for this projected 30,000-person, $6 billion development. But at this public hearing today, there are still serious questions that plague what is likely to be the largest TIF in the history of our city. There is scant public information describing how these funds would be generated or spent, what the true public benefit is, why, and a series of false choices. Why is TIF the only reason, the only way to pay for this infrastructure? And at bottom, we don't even know whether the land in this TIF has been fairly assessed. Alderman Wagsback and I believe that it is only right that our new Cook County assessor, Fritz Kagi, be allowed to review the assessments on all 300 Lincoln Yards properties before this mega TIF is being pushed forward. These properties were assessed under the old Berrios regime, and some of the properties, some of which are shown on the map next to me, were represented for years by the firm of Clafter and Burke, which was only recently fired by Sterling Bay in the midst of scandal at City Hall. Burke and Clafter convinced former assessor Berrios or the Board of Review to lower the estimated value on at least 7 Sterling Bay properties. That decision slashed taxes on at least 7 properties, including the centerpiece of this development, the former site of Finkel Steel, a total of 28%, and saved the developer almost $330,000 in property taxes for 1 year, according to the Sun-Times analysis. That amounts to millions of dollars over time. We are right now moving to obtain the records on the history of these assessments. We want to know how much the former assessor cut taxes on the other hundreds of properties in this proposed TIF district. Now, this is not an academic exercise. The largest TIF district ever proposed in Chicago deserves real scrutiny because this is not only about fairness, this is about the taxpayers. It is laughable to think that these properties, which are part of the biggest quote-unquote land rush in the city, according to the Sun-Times, and which were sold for millions of dollars, deserve reductions in value. As an example, the Fleet Center, which was city property, was sold for $105 million to these developers. It is still assessed at having zero value on the books today, which means that every single dollar of property taxes ever generated from the Fleet Center will not go to the schools, will not go to public parks, will go instead to this developer to reimburse itself for infrastructure that it chooses to build. What these lowered assessments do is reduce the base of this proposed TIF. So we saw that chart up there that showed this base. Well, imagine that the base is zero for significant parts of this developer, which means taking more money from the public and giving more right back to the developers when they build. The assessments of these properties must be reviewed before billions of taxpayer dollars are handing over to developers. The city claims that the developer bears the risk of building the infrastructure, but that is not so. Under the TIF plan and the redevelopment agreement, which you are being asked to approve the negotiation of today, the city will actually reimburse the developer for building the infrastructure with interest and possibly using a tax-free loans, which we were just learned for the first time today, plus management fees. So there is no risk to this developer, but there is to the taxpayers. Because equally troubling, there is actually no clear obligation binding the developer to actually build specific infrastructure at any particular time. So the residents, including mine, who want new infrastructure built, have no guarantee that will be built according to anybody's schedule except that which may benefit the developer. This lack of transparency is more than disturbing. It is insulting to citizens. We have been told we must act now, we cannot wait, and that there is no alternative to a TIF for these infrastructure changes. But this is a false choice. There are capital bills, federal funds that we seek every year. In fact, during the creation of the North Branch framework, we were told quite the opposite. We were told that TIF would be used as a last resort for funding these improvements, not the only resort, and certainly not the first. Now, for those people who are here hungry for the jobs this development will bring, we say a taxpayer ripoff hurts everyone, and we deserve smart development. We do support development in my ward, and I do too. But it is not the only way to pay for it, is through a TIF. Indeed, we require most developers to build their own infrastructure. As one of my residents once said, if I want to use the shared sidewalk program to build my own sidewalk, I have to pay half. Where's Sterling Bay's half here on a $6 billion development? We want the good jobs that this development will bring, and we want those jobs paid for by those who will be benefiting from the most. And finally, we know that any TIF must show a true public benefit. And in this case, the greatest public benefit would be the creation of the North Branch Park Preserve. The land to make the park a reality is part of this TIF. And there's no line item in this TIF that would allow the purchase of public land for completely public use. The $25 million that is listed in the TIF redevelopment plan is barely enough to purchase the rights of way that are possibly necessary for the Elston intersection. Now is the time for the city to secure the only remaining unbought parcel to create a true public benefit in this massive TIF. We want good jobs in this city. We want good development. And we want full transparency. We urge you to delay consideration of this TIF.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next individual is Mike. Let me call the next batch for a second, and I'll give you the mic, Commissioner Reifman. Mike Marsileo, Jonathan Hoffman, Neil Levin, Molly Meyer, Shane Simon, Lalo Juarez, and Jeremy Strong. If you can just give me a second here, Mike. Commissioner Reifman.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it's important to clarify a few things about what's before us in TIF in light of Alderman Smith's comments. So first of all, in terms of the manner in which the risk has been described, or she's described the risk, that is, her description is incorrect. The reason that the risk remains with the developer is that the developer will seek the financing and fund all of the improvements from increment which will be generated from the private investment that they will put into Lincoln Yards. Thus, if they fail to create the development that they intend to create, we get the infrastructure, they take the risk of payment. But I'm not sure about tax-free loan. This is not a loan. That's not the way it works. It is a tax-exempt financing tool that allows a private developer to fund the improvements and take the risk of repayment, not the public, not the taxpayers, point number one. Point number two, one of the resolutions before the commission today is the authorization to move forward with the negotiation of a redevelopment agreement, which will be very specific as to the obligations of the developer to fund very specific infrastructure, all of which was presented today, all of which will be introduced in the City Council, all of which will have to go to City Council in the form of a redevelopment agreement, as we do with numerous TIF deals. In addition, during the North Branch Framework Plan, no one ever said that TIF would be used only as a last resort. What we talked about was the fact that rather than relying solely on TIF for infrastructure, we would have other tools, such as developer contributions, of which there are several hundred million of private developer contributions unrelated to TIF, including the North Branch bonus, which we created at that time and created in connection with this process to provide that the development rights would pay for infrastructure in the area as well. We talked about how those tools would reduce the need for TIF, not that TIF would be a last resort. There was always a need for TIF. Finally, we have other sources, and our presentation today also discusses the fact that to the extent that there are state and federal funds available, that TIF would be reduced. However, as a city and as a state, we have monumental infrastructure and capital needs, and we'll continue to work through those things that benefit not only this particular area's regional infrastructure, but the city as a whole. And we'll have to make those types of priority decisions as to where state funds and federal funds get spent. In this particular case, we have a developer willing to front those funds for the city, for the infrastructure that is necessary to allow for $6 billion of private investment. So I think these are very important facts that need to be clarified, given your comments, Alderman. Thank you.